What's going on, everyone? It's your boy, Greg Hush Williams. Welcome to another episode of the Finer Life Show. We're going to talk to U.S. Marine Corps veteran and host of Vet Talk with Hill Pluvios, on a purpose of telling veteran stories in today's world. Check it out.
I'm the first person in my family to ever serve in the military, right? And I was a junior in high school when 9/11 happened. And from there, I knew that I wanted to do something. I didn't know if it was going to be the Marine Corps or the Army, the Navy, or any of that, or a police officer or a firefighter. I just knew from there I wanted to do something. And one day I had a conversation with a good friend of mine and told him I was going to the Navy. And he said to me, no, if you're going to go, because his brother was a Marine. He says, well, you should do the Marine. I see you more as a Marine. And I said, well, the Marine Corps it is. So I called the recruiter. And that very same day, I said, look, I want to get out of here. I want to go to the Marines. He said, well, do you have a high school diploma? I was like, not yet. And he said, first, we have to take the ASVAB, see if you can pass it. And then we'll work on, you know, your high school diploma, because I was still in high school. And then we'll make it happen. And that summer, I worked on doing a portfolio kind of thing we had to put together for high school so I can get a high school diploma. And we had to present it to a panel. And luckily, everything worked out. And then I got a high school diploma. And I went straight to boot camp. And as the first person in my family to serve in the military, I didn't know what to expect, but I knew I wanted to do well. I knew I wanted to give it 100%. And while I was in boot camp, I guess the drill instructors, we call them, saw something in me that I probably didn't know I had, right? And I thought I was there to learn, but they saw that I had great leadership qualities, as they said. And they made me a second squad leader. And I was one of four people out of a platoon of 100 to be meritoriously promoted to the rank of to the next rank. And I thought it was the biggest thing in the world. And here I am, a Marine, and I am, you know, being singled out to, as a leader and given the opportunity to lead other people. And yeah, that's how it worked, man. I just didn't know much about the Marine Corps, but I knew I wanted to give it 100%. And as I while I was in boot camp, I started to fall in love with the Marine Corps. I started to look to my left and my right and saw young people who are waking up at 4 a.m. to train, to work extremely hard to keep America safe. And I said, well, I want to continue to challenge myself and be one of those people and give them my all. And here we are. Yeah.
So we gotta get more into the journey. I mean, after boot camp, you know, where'd you go for advanced training? And like, you know, what was your first duty station? What was your experience like, you know, your first couple of years in the Corps?
Great question. So, and my first, you know how you had, I went in open contract. I don't know if it's just like you don't have a job, so they can even make you a grunt or whatever it was. And I went to Marine Corps combat training in North Carolina. And while I was in Marine Corps combat training, they pulled me out and said, hey, you're a grunt. You're in the wrong training. And I'm like, okay. And then 2 weeks later, they came back and said, no, we made a mistake. You were supposed to be one, but it got filled. So I ended up doing logistics in the Marine Corps. And my first duty station was Okinawa, Japan. That's when like the war had just started. It was from the end of 2003 to 2004. And then I came back to the States where I was stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And I was there for just a couple of months, and I was deployed to Iraq. And the cool thing about it is I got promoted to the rank of corporal 7 days before I was deployed to Iraq. And here I am with a squad. I had my own team, and I'm newly promoted. I'm just a brand new corporal. And I ended up doing corporal's course leadership training in Iraq in 2005. So here I am stressing about the workload. I have people who are slightly older than I am to manage, and I am going through leadership school at the same time. And again, I gave it 100%, and I was voted the gung-ho. I don't know if we still say that, the gung-ho, and I received an award for it. And during my graduation, I think a 2-star general was out there visiting, and he presented it to me. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So let's talk about, you know, your time downrange. You know, what were some of, I guess, the challenges? I've been down there too, you know, Afghanistan and coincidentally, I got three MOSs. My first one, transportation management. So I know how it is. You know, nothing happens if nothing is moving. You know, what was your daily life, your routine like in Iraq, you know, as a logistics Marine and just kind of the atmosphere and, you know, the responsibilities that you had?
I mean, I was young, right? I think I was 20 or 19 or 20, maybe 20, I want to say. I want to say around 21. And, you know, you get there, you don't know what to expect, man. And the minute we got there, and this is it was just bad where we were. We were getting bombed every day and you have people to worry about. Here we are walking around with a flag jacket, Kevlar everywhere we went. And even when you're taking a shower, your rifle is hanging right outside the shower, right? To be able to grab it. And you're managing, you know, young people and you're trying to make sure we stay together, we stay strong. And you got while I was in Corpus Christi, one of my guys was hit, right? Well, he was hit and almost got his leg cut off. And he ended up going to Germany and so on. So trying to manage the workload and trying to be I tell people all the time, trying to be a therapist, an untrained therapist to tell young people everything is going to be fine. And, you know, you can be in a defect and you hear boom, boom, you got to get up, leave your food and run to the bunker and take cover because you're getting hit with you know, all types of bombs. The insurgents are dropping on you. And, you know, during our deployment, luckily, I didn't lose anybody from my team. One guy got hit, lost some people from our detachment. And I came back to the States. And for some reason, I felt more at peace in the war zone than I felt here in the States. So after I got out the military, I ended up getting a job with the Department of Defense as a contractor to go back overseas to do exactly what I was doing. And then after that, my first year, I worked in logistics with the DOD, and the following year, I ended up working in electronic warfare because I saw what was happening, how many lives we were losing on convoys and young people who were dying, and I wanted to do something about it and figure out a way that I can defeat it, and luckily, a company was out there doing the exact same thing, and I applied for a position to work with them, and they sent me back to the States and trained me in electronic warfare. And I went back over and did that for a number of years between Iraq, Kuwait, and Afghanistan. So I moved around those countries a lot.
Wow. So to really go from serving your country in uniform in a hostile war zone to then still serving your country as a contractor, still making it happen, still taking care of Marines. I mean, wow.
And luckily, it was for everybody, not only the Marines. We had the Army, the Navy. And my last year in Afghanistan was 2013, I want to say. I went back over and worked as an HVAC tech because I ended up coming back to the States and got trained and got certified as an HVAC tech, EPA, and got a universal EPA license. And if, you know, the desert during the day can be extremely hot. And at night, it gets cold, and the COC and the TOG, they're constantly working, and they have these big machines that are running, and we have to keep them at a certain temperature. So I figured I can help in that area as well. So I ended up working with the Army Special Forces, and shout out to the Army, because as a Marine, we talk mess, but you get around the Army Special Forces, and even the Army, and you see the amount of work that they put in, you learn to appreciate those guys. So as a veteran, I think I felt more in love with the military and what those who are serving as a veteran, because I got to see, you know, as a civilian, you often say, hey, thank you for your service. So now you serve as in uniform. You don't necessarily pay attention to the work you're doing. It's like we're all doing it together. But when you get out and then you look back and you see the amount of work that young people are doing. I remember one time I was on the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan, and I was working in electronic warfare at the time. So we flew down range to train a group of people who couldn't stay at a COB. You know, the COBs are bigger, big bases. So they stayed at a FOB where our helicopter couldn't land inside. So I had to land outside the FOB and then walk inside of the camp to help train these guys. And the very next day, I was in a tent with two K-9 dogs. And we had captain in the tent with us, a number of staff and POs, and we had canine dogs with two military police officers. And I was so tired, I fell asleep the first night, and then there was a firefight not too far from me. So that's when I realized that I was becoming getting too used to it, because there was a firefight. I didn't wake up because I felt like the Marines got it. I know I'm safe. And 2 days later, I went in to do the training. And the next morning, one of the guys that I met, he was only 19, stepped on an IED and blew up. And that made me appreciate what young people, what people, what our troops do even more. And I said, when I get back to the States and work in a, and come back to the States fully, I want to try my hardest to stay in, within the military community and do as much as possible for the military community, because I think if other Americans get to see and experience what I've experienced, I think our love and our appreciation for our troops would be better, would change. Mm. So my experience, more in love with our guys. So when you see me on LinkedIn doing a number of things and reaching out and trying to do things mm-hmm. for the military, it's because it's coming from the heart, because I got to see those guys in action, and I got to see the price that they've paid for my freedom.
Now let's talk about the shift, because you shifted now. You know, you could have stuck with it for all these years, you know, working as an engineer, working with General Dynamics, but you shifted careers. You went from electronic warfare and technical stuff and logistics to media. You know, you started as a PA over at Starz. What made you want to shift journeys?
I mean, honestly, I've always wanted to work in media, right? I studied film production at first. I have my first BA in film production. And trying to crack into the industry is extremely tough. And I made a short film about PTSD when I was in college, and I put it on Facebook, and over 400,000 people watched it. And then they started to reach out to me and say, hey, this is great. Hey, I love this. Oh, my God. My grandfather suffered from PTSD, and I've seen him behave this way. My son suffered from it, and I've seen seen him that way, or my sister, and so on. So from there, I knew I had something. I knew I wanted to continue to work in media, but also combine it with my military experience and tell military stories. So that while I was in college, I did an internship at Silver Cup Studios in Queens, where I was able to network and was able to connect with the guys that you see from Starz and the TV show Younger with Hilary Duff and so on. So I always wanted to work within that space. But unfortunately, I couldn't find like permanent work. So I decided to reach out to MLB.com at the time. This was before streaming was what it is today. So I figured I'll combine my electronic warfare background with my film degree, because I know how to edit and so on, to work for MLB.com. So I was able to explain that to them during an interview, and they hired me. And then later on, it got turned into BAMTech, and then Disney took it over during Disney Plus. And then I ended up going back to college to get another degree, another BA in business with a focus in marketing.
Oh, wow. So, you know, you spent some time over, you know, in the streaming world with Disney. And then you made another pivot. And this is where I met you while you were working at this organization. And then you started Hill Talk. So let's talk a little bit about your experience, you know, with NBC. And then now what you're doing, you know, with that talk with Hill. So, you know, I met you when you hit NBC. Bam, how'd you get there? And you ended up, you know, manager of marketing, and then manager of client partnerships. And I met you doing the boat, helping veterans get their foot in the door. Yeah. How'd you get over there, man?
Yeah. I mean, luckily, NBC had a military program where they were looking to hire veterans with some media experience. And I have a degree in marketing, and I have a degree in film production, and I had, you know, experience in the industry for a number of years. So they brought me over to work in client partnerships for the first 6 months. And then I pivoted to work over in marketing. And again, my military experience has always served me in a positive light, where a lot of the organizations that they were working with in terms of marketing were very interested in working with the military community. And I made it my business to learn. You know, I'm super nosy. I ask a million questions. It doesn't matter to me. I always want to know. So while I was there, one company wanted to have a conversation with the military community. And I remember working with them when I was stationed at Camp Lejeune. So during the marketing meeting, I said, well, I know this company. I know what to put in front of them, the stories that they want to tell. And they were, you know, people at the company, at the media company, were nice enough to let me go in there and have the conversation with the client. And then we ended up doing something together where I was the face of the military community for NBC and Golden Corral at the time. And we shot a commercial and it aired on MSNBC, CNBC, telling the exact military stories that I'm telling you now, how we do so much in the military. And one of the things that I always say is that you get a person right out of high school with just a high school diploma who had probably never been on an airplane or helicopter. But by the time they're 18, 19, and 20 in the military, the helicopter and airplane mechanics, right? So that tells you these people can learn if people can give them a shot, can give them a chance. And we were able to tell stories like that about how my military service was able to help me to pivot into my role over at NBC.
Nice, nice, nice. Now, you go and you're doing your thing at NBC and then you go do something crazy, Hill. You start Vet Talk with Hill and you start having these guests on telling their stories. You start doing your own thing. Tell me, where did the idea come from? Where did the inspiration come from? And, you know, what drives you to help veterans tell their story today?
Like I told you, I fell in love with learning about veterans. As a veteran myself, I wanted to know who these people were before the military, because I know who I was before the military is now who I was in the military, and who I am now is now who I was in the military and before the military. And I thought it would be arrogant to think I'm the only one that's that way. So I wanted to learn more about these people. And in the military, you meet so many people from so many different parts of the world, right? The world, because you got people who come from other countries who serve in the military as well. And I wanted to give them a platform to tell their story and also give myself the platform to help educate people who don't know much about the military, about people in the military. So the idea is something I've always had. And I see that a lot of people had a platform to tell their stories, whether they're basketball players, whether they're artists or whatever it was. And I said, why shouldn't I do the same thing for veterans? I love their stories. People love their stories. And I remember when I first started, I started to put clips of it on LinkedIn. And celebrities would reach out to me and say, hey, I like this. I want to be a part of it. And I would tell them, my ignorance would tell them, no, that's not for you. It's for veterans. And they're like, crazy, I served in the Navy. I was in the Army. I was here and I was there. And I thought it was pretty cool. And every guest that I had on the show who was a celebrity, and those who are not, I still keep in touch with, right? So we have J. Alexander Martin from FUBU, I still keep in touch with, right? And then we have Victor Almendar, who I went to high school with, served with, and now he's like a big-time Broadway actor with Common, right? And when I was working at NBC, I knew that there was a story that I wanted to tell with Victor, so I partnered with one of our TV shows to do some work in the military community to help tell that story as well. So it's always like connecting the dots. Like, I'm obsessed with connecting the dots. That is why I started the show. It's so many untold stories, and a lot of it helps save lives, believe it or not, right? Sometimes we'll have a conversation that a lot of times these veterans will forget that the cameras are around, and they'll just open up about regular things. And then I get a note from a veteran who's just watching it from wherever they are, like, oh my God, thank you for allowing this veteran to say his piece, because I've gone through the same thing, and you know, I've gone through this and gone through that. So I kind of help bring the community closer and bring the community together. And I enjoy it, man. I love doing it.
Now, listen, I'm going to have to tell y'all something. If y'all didn't know, J. Alexander Martin, you know, co-founder of FUBU, U.S. Navy veteran, is an honorary member of Mu Beta Phi Military Fraternity Incorporated. Big it up for Jay Alexander, wherever he is. You know, now he's doing like FUBU streaming and all that other stuff. But right now, you know, you are doing your own thing and you are in charge of your own business. You've successfully transitioned within several careers, two major industries. What have been some of the lessons you've learned along the way as far as in anchoring yourself during the transition period that have helped you, or something that, you know, you constantly tell veterans or service members?
Don't give up. Don't give up. If you want it, you have a story to tell. If people don't want to help you tell it, figure out a way to tell it yourself. Figure out a way to tell it yourself and connect the dots. Like I explained to you, when I was working with these companies in electronic warfare, I was able to get, when I was over at MLB.com, I was able to make the connection because we're streaming. We're getting live stream from other places, which is, it's very similar to what I was doing in the military. And I also manage people. So I was able to explain to them, look, I'm willing to learn whatever I need to do. I'm going to do it. Give me a shot. And people don't have to give you a shot. But a lot of times when you show people that you really want to do it and you'll give it 100%, some people will give you a shot. And those are the things that I tell veterans all the time. Just because 100 people tell you no doesn't stop you from going to 101. That one person that tells you yes will open a number of doors for you. And as veterans, once you get in that door, don't fight for a seat at the table and think because you're seated at the table, that's all that matters. Try to open the door for other veterans, because just like I know our story, people who have never experienced our life, way of living or our lives will not know our story. Let's be that voice inside to tell those stories to help other veterans get in.
Thank you for tuning into the Finer Life Show. Listen, if you want to find us on the web, please check us out at www.mbfikings2017.org. That is www.mbphikings2017.org.